The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I want to win the games you should be dice playing.
Playing bass cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want to win the games until the dice play.
I can't play these video games.
Games and More Entertainment Radio.
Good afternoon, Internet. This is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 82. I'm C4.
I'm Kobar.
You liked that one, didn't you? I have to change it. Once in a while, I get sick and tired of saying the same thing.
Yeah.
We also, okay. Something stupid. It's always the same intro. Anyway, let's see. This is episode 82, and we've got quite a bit of talk about some MMORPGs this week. Let's see. Before we get to all that, though, because I can hear everybody going, oh, Christ. But no. Wait. Don't turn us off just yet. Because you know what? We're not going to talk about the same MMORPGs. That's what's going to be really cool about this show. I thought this would be a good idea because I'm sure people are sick and tired of hearing about World of Warcraft. Sick and tired of hearing about EverQuest 2. And there is still the group that's probably sick and tired of hearing about Final Fantasy XI. You know, and so I was thinking, God, that's all I want to talk about, though, is MMORPGs.
And frankly, it's the biggest thing going right now.
As far as
the genre goes, I mean, they're everywhere. And you can't deny that, and you can't not look at them, because it's...
They're huge.
Yeah.
They're huge. They're just, this is what the companies want to make, because it's that sustained income. And you know what I fear we're going to see real soon? We're going to see, like, you know, NCSoft, the guys who published, like, Guild Wars and those other games. You know, like, tons of Lineage.
And City
of
Heroes.
City of Heroes, right? I fear EA might get into the game one day. That's going to suck. I don't know if it picks up on that or what, but, like, maybe an extra hiss that we don't need.
Yeah.
You're not going to be too happy about that, though, if EA gets in the game and we all have to pay them monthly.
Ain't going to happen.
You never know, though. They might even start requiring... Oh, I don't want to give them ideas.
Oh, they'll do it.
I was going to say subscription fees to Madden.
They'll get in the game sometime or not.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, they'll probably get in by buying somebody else out, though.
Yeah.
I could totally see them taking somebody over and saying, this is our product now. Pay us. We are EA. We are games. Speaking of games, though, seeing as how we do that here on occasion, you've found a really cool story about the Walk of Fame, but it's for games.
Oh, yeah. In San Francisco, on Monday, I guess, they opened up the Walk of Game.
Today's Wednesday, by the way, so 2 days ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
And basically, it's like as you said, the Walk of Fame in Hollywood, where the sidewalk has blocks that are dedicated to movie stars. Well, this is for video game stars. And right now, there's only three. There's Sonic, Link, and...
Mario.
And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was a little nifty. And it's in the Metaron building in San Francisco. I'm not sure where or what that is.
Yeah, me neither. But it would be worth checking out. I'd like to take pictures of that. I'm sure we can find some online, or at least soon. I'm sure they're going to be online. I'd like to see some pictures of that. Do they have, like signatures or something? You know, like, doesn't the real one have, like, a little, like, the what's it called, the Walk of Fame or whatever?
Yeah.
Don't they have, like,
and, like, handprints.
Handprints or something, right? Then they have, like, a signature or something or something?
Something like that.
It,
the article I saw didn't say.
Yeah,
they did have full-on people dressed up in mascots accepting the award and stuff.
That's awesome.
They digitized Mario and he came on and said, well, thank you very much, everyone!
That's cool. That would be awesome to go to. That would have been pretty neat. I'd like to go see those, though. Get some pictures or something. Maybe somebody down there can take some pictures and post them online.
That would be cool.
Like on our forum. That would be a great idea.
Interesting to go see. Especially once they get a lot more.
Yeah.
It becomes actually a walk instead of a three-square thing.
A stand of fame. You can stand there and look at them all. Let's see. Yeah, but who would you really put on that list, though?
Well, there's lots of people you could put on the list.
any
Disney. If you wanted it to be cream of the crop, then it would be a little tough.
Like, I could see them putting, like, the whole Mario crew on there. Couldn't you see Bowser and Luigi? Where's Luigi? He's gotta be pissed about Snake. This right now. He's shooting up heroin in a closet somewhere. Mario gets all the glory, he's tying off his arm. I can see it. You know, yeah, I guess I could see Snake too, because he's been around for a while too. But that's what I wanna, that's what I was thinking though, because we were talking about this before the show. And I was cheering that Sony didn't have anything on there. And, you know, the point came up that Sony hasn't been in this long enough, right? You said that, you know, Sony doesn't deserve it. And they're right. There's nothing they have that would really be super popular at this point, you know, like that I can think of myself even. But I can think of, like, where's the Final Fantasy characters? I think, or, you know, like, maybe they should have, I mean, is it just for the characters? Or would they do, like, a series? Like, would you have, you know, Square? And like, what would you pick for a Final Fantasy thing, though? I mean, Final Fantasy's huge. Final Fantasy's an extremely popular
What would get series. Picked... Is Cloud.
Cloud, yeah. Unfortunately, that's probably what would happen. But I think that they need a better way or something to do, something different to honor the series, you know?
I think a Moogle.
There you go. The one thing that's constant through most of them anyway.
Most of them. Not
yeah,
all.
Not all of them, but most of them. Yeah.
That Chocobo is the thing that's in every single one. I don't think I can think of a single Final Fantasy thing that doesn't have a Chocobo.
I'd have to go back and play Final Fantasy. Yeah, no, they, I guess they do. Yeah, wow. I guess so. I guess so. That'd be pretty cool, then. Okay, alright. I'd rather see a Moogle, though.
Yeah.
The giant chickens freak me out, man. That's pretty neat, though. Okay, I'm gonna have to go down there and check that out.
There's plenty
we should take a trip down there.
That would be cool.
That'd be awesome. If we would ever get out of the house and stop playing games, it would probably happen. We're not that far.
No, we're not. That's a day trip.
Yeah.
If you work at it.
That'd be pretty awesome, actually. We could record the show in the car. And it would sound just like it does here with all the noise. That loud hum in the background.
But there's plenty of PlayStation and even Xbox characters that deserve to be on there, but they got to do the Marios and the Sonics first.
First, yeah, you're right, you're right. They need to get on this, though. This is a cool idea. I like this. More recognition of video games in the real world. Oh, and you know what? That would have been the perfect segue into a story that I wanted to do with all my heart this week, but we can't because I'm a slacker. And I've got an email... I don't know if even he wants me to say who it came from. But he knows what I'm talking about because he told me he sent the email on IRC. So I got it. I haven't had a chance to go over it yet, but it's a really, really, really good email. We're going to have to talk about it next week, though. But it's about everybody's favorite person, Jack Thompson.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah. You know, I need to come up with a good name for him. Something other than asshole. Something, you know... I don't know, but long-time listeners of the show know that when that guy comes up in the show, I get angry. It usually ends with me screaming and throwing stuff, and it's not very good. I mean, yeah, it's pretty bad. So I didn't feel like getting worked up either this time because I had a pretty bad day yesterday, and I didn't want to raise my blood pressure anymore either. So I'm going to put that email on hold until next week when I can properly read the whole thing. It's actually pretty long, pretty involved, and pretty interesting. But I just need to get some more details, too, before we talk about that.
Another thing I wanted to mention while we were talking about those three characters, they're coming out with a Sonic 3.
Mm.
So, like, an actual platformer as opposed to the...
Sonic Adventure type of crap.
The gimmicky things. The thing I'm worried about is I saw a trailer for it, and he's toting around, like, guns.
Was that Sonic, or was that evil dude, that Shadow?
Knuckles?
No. There's that, like... Now, see, when was the last time you played a Sonic the Hedgehog game?
The Genesis.
Same here. Now, see, I owned Sonic Adventure 1 on my Dreamcast, and I played it for all of, like, an hour. I could not tolerate that game at all. I couldn't stand it. It was terrible.
I played that in Walmart or something, Target or whatever.
I didn't like it at all. And you get those stupid little babies that you gotta raise, those little chaos things that you... It's like a total... Monster Rancher Pokemon type deal, you know, and it was just stupid. You had these little what do they call them, chow chows or something, these little, I don't care about all that stupid crap. I don't want to sit there and deal with that, you know. You're not going to find me sitting at work worried about my little chow chow farm at my house, you know. It's not going to happen, you know.
But the footage of the actual levels where you're doing the crazy stuff like in Sonic 1 and 2, the whole roller coaster type level design looked fat.
Yeah.
That looked really cool.
It was 3D though. That was the big thing. Now, I've had it, like, when I tried to play the Sonic Adventure, it's in 3D, and it just doesn't play that well. My problem with it is your lack of control. You can only really get a good handle on Sonic when you're standing still. Oh, great. That's not what Sonic's about. Sonic is about speed. And my problem with the Sonic Adventure was, once you got going fast, you basically lost control of your character. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just kind of had to ride with it and go as fast as you possibly could and follow the tracks, and eventually it would dump you off where you're supposed to be. And it was all about, oh, look how cool this is. And sure, they had some neat stuff. I remember flying around, like, you know, roller coaster type of crap, launch myself off into, like, a tornado, get sucked up in the air, and it drops you onto something else, and you go flying across the rest of the level. Well, great. They designed these monster huge levels, which are really cool and everything, but I have no control over where I'm going in them, it felt like. You know, like, you were just there, and you hit, you know, you get going, and you were just along for the ride, and that sucks.
It looked like you had plenty of control. Like, he was scooting around blocks so he didn't hit him.
Yeah, while he was rolling and going off fast. Right. I mean, you're going to lose a certain amount of control when you're going that fast. You did on the Genesis ones, too. But at least, you know, when you were flying around, you could see the brick coming, you know, and you didn't want to stop. So you'd hit jump, and you'd go flying over and land on another track somewhere. I mean, it was cool, but at least you had some control. You know, you could slow Sonic down if you hit back. You know, he would slow down in the air or whatever, and you could just stop again. And I played Sonic so slow. For some reason, because I always went around and I'd find all the little secret spots and everything, you know, and I messed around, but, you know, it's a completely different game when you play through it fast, and it's almost more fun. It's designed to be that way. Like, Sonic CD, did you ever play that one? I'm like, oh, holy crap. I bought this, the PC version.
Oh, yeah?
Because I don't have my Sega CD anymore and all that, but it's way better on the Dream, on the Genesis. It was way cooler. The load time was way faster. The load time on the PC version is so lame. It takes forever. But it was a fun game. You had, you know, time travel and all that kind of crap. And I don't know, it was like the best one in the series, I guess, I thought. I didn't like the ones with like the extra dudes. Like, who cares? Like, I didn't really care about
Sonic and Knuckles and
Tails and all that crap. Yeah, and the Sonic Adventure game gave you all those new guys. I didn't want to play them. It's Sonic the Hedgehog, not Sonic and his 48 friends, you know, take down Dr. Chaos or whatever. You know what I mean? It just, that's how I felt about that. But this one, I mean, it looks pretty cool.
It looks interesting. I'm worried about the whole gun thing.
That's the problem. Now,
maybe there's two Sonics?
I was going to say, my point of that whole thing was, there's something about a Shadow Sonic that I don't follow because I haven't, that's how we got off on that, was that I don't play the Sonic games, and I haven't since basically.
Oh, so they've introduced Sonic.
Exactly. He's Mecha Sonic or something.
This is called the Shadow of the Hedgehog.
Yeah, his name's like Shadow something. Anyway, I've seen him in ads, and I've seen him on screenshots of the other Sonics. I know, wasn't he on the box for Sonic Adventure 2?
Maybe.
You know, I'm fairly certain. I mean, so everybody knows who it is but us, because we don't play Sonic games. You know, I would love to, but they haven't been fun for me since Sonic CD, so I don't know. So that's why I think maybe it's two dudes. Maybe you get to play. Like, I have a funny feeling that the Shadow Sonic was like a robot created by Dr. Robotnik. That's his name. And, not the guy from Mega Man. and maybe Sonic in one of the games freed him or something. Now maybe he's like your ally or something. So maybe you get to play as the Shadow Sonic dude, but he shoots in crap. I don't see Sonic using a bazooka and a chain gun and all that crazy, ridiculous stuff they had.
Well, yeah, I
you're gonna turn this into like Jack and Daxter the Hedgehogs, you know?
Yeah, I'm getting pretty tired of, platformers with guns, frankly. Bring it back to the whole melee thing.
You know, yeah. Look at how awesome Mario 64 was. You didn't shoot a damn thing in there, you know, and it was fantastic. But, you know what I think? It's just like a stock engine, I think. It's just like a standard engine they have, and I swear to God, they just throw the graphics on. Like all the movie games, you know there's a Constantine game out already?
Oh yeah, it's been out for a while.
I didn't know this. I think
they're starting to come out before the movie.
Yeah, get the hype going, make sure it's in the store. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I went to Blockbuster yesterday, and they had it out for the PS2 and the Xbox. Constantine. I look at the back, and I'm thinking to myself, God, this looks an awful lot like the Van Helsing game. Crap. Bad graphics, same engine. I mean, it looked like the exact same freaking game. You know, I don't know why they make all these crap. I don't know, it was pretty disappointing. Pretty lame. I suppose people are tired of hearing us stumble around the Sonic story.
Yeah.
So, you had a really cool, finally we got information. Xbox.
I got some stats for the Xenon. Which is the code name of Xbox Next, for those that don't know. Apparently, the CPU is going to be one chip, but three cores at 3 gigahertz each.
That's pretty crazy. How in the hell do they plan on doing that? I'll never know.
I don't know.
Last I heard, AMD had actually was demoing a dual core processor.
Mm.
Like, you know, something they're going to get ready to be available to the regular consumer here pretty soon. And if freaking Microsoft is sitting on, like, essentially a 9 gigahertz processor.
Yeah. Although without the cache and whatnot of three separate.
Oh, it shares.
Yeah. It has an L1 cache with 32 KB for data, 32 KB for instructions, and then it shares a 1 megabyte of L2 cache.
Yeah, that's suddenly less impressive.
Right. But
cheaper to manufacture.
Yeah. And it's still quite amazing with what a console can do with what it's got.
That's a good point. And one of the most important things in this, in a console, of course, is the video card.
Right, which is a generation beyond the ATI X800. It has a 500 megahertz clock speed.
Clock speed on, yeah.
And supports Shader 3.0.
Well, that's good.
I don't know what the memory is for that. It might just share system memory. I don't know.
Yeah.
Which system memory is 256 megabytes.
Oh, yeah, it's gotta share it.
But you gotta remember that the Xbox only has 64. Yeah, so 256 is not nearly as small as it sounds.
Yeah.
When you're thinking like a computer which has to run all the applications like Windows and this, that, and the other. And
yeah, when you're simply running one thing, that's quite a bit.
The media is going to be dual-layer DVD 9 discs. They're going to be 7 gigabytes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting, because there was a big thing, you know, about Sony saying they were going to use their new Blu-ray stuff,
right,
which is supposed to, it'll hold 200 gigs of stuff, you know, and yeah, I'm sure it works really well, too.
Yeah.
You know, you guys can't get dual-layered, you know, DVD 9 discs to work right. I'm pretty glad to hear that.
They're going to be 7 gigabytes, though.
Okay.
And
that's fine.
At 12 times speed is what the drive is going
to
be.
Ideally, that should still be able to be read by a regular DVD player, then.
Yeah.
I would think. Right, if it's like a DVD 9 they're just not using all of, unless they're making like a new format which is like smaller than a DVD or something, which would really jack up your DVD players. If you tried to like, say, copy the game and put it in a computer and play around with it, that would really mess your shit up.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do something to combat the piracy.
This is kind of interesting, because it comes with a USB 2 1.2 megapixel camera.
That's so stupid.
And the hard drive's optional.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense at all.
But if you ask me, the hard drive is not optional, because if you have it, it sets aside 2 gigabytes for game cache.
Which is a monster thing for people. Like, you always hear me bitching about load times.
Mm.
I hear people complain all the time about load times. And if this is going to help speed that up, I'm all for it. I have to have the hard drive in my Xbox.
It's also removable.
The hard drive?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's actually in a bay that removes.
So, yeah, see, we still don't know, though, how they're going to market this thing. Are they going to sell, like, just, like, a standard, say, Xbox 2 box, where you can buy an additional hard drive, and then you can, like, plug shit into it and build, like, the Uber box?
I imagine probably.
I would hope so, because I would hate to have it where they have, like, basically two or three separate products, and if you were to, say, buy an Xbox without a hard drive, and you wouldn't be able to add one, that would suck.
I am sure they will sell hard drives. In fact, if it's a removable thing, it might just use... You might be able to throw a Maxter in there or something.
That'd be cool.
I don't know. I kind of doubt it.
Yeah.
But...
I think they probably learned their lesson the first time.
If it's removable, I'm sure that they're going to sell separate ones to make use of the fact that it slides out.
I hope so.
So then you get someone who has a crap load of game saves or whatever on a hard drive, they can pull that out, put it, slap in a new one.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot when you... Yeah. I don't know anybody that could do that. But with all the downloadable content, those drives fill up really quick.
I've also read somewhere that Microsoft is saying if you want to put a game on the Xenon, it has to be live compatible. It has to have some form of online content.
That's awesome. I'm really behind this. And the reason is, I think Xbox Live is a good system. I like it. I think it's one of the coolest things that we've had in the console world in a long time. Seriously, since Final Fantasy XI, I haven't seen anything cooler in the console world. Like, you know, I mean, really, what has there been? More of the same games over and over and over and over.
Some of them are pretty fast.
Yeah, you know, some of them are fun. Some of them are really cool. You know, the Sly Coopers of the world. You know, the Ease games. You know, I mean, you got your Panzer Dragoons and your Conkers. You know, you have some fun games, but like earth-shattering stuff, you're like, wow, this is going to change the way that we play games. And I thought, you know, sure, the Dreamcast had online stuff. You know what? I never got that to work. Mm-hmm. To save my life. I was never able to make it work, you know? I could never fight anybody in the Street Fighter games. That was one of the big selling points for me. I was never able to play against anybody. And what else had like the PlayStation 2, I've actually never used it. The reasons for me owning the network adapter are purely different than having the network capability of the PlayStation 2, but I do have Champions of Norrath, which I could play online, which I've, like, every now and again, like, once a week, it crosses my mind, and I go, oh, dude, I gotta check that out, and I just don't have it in me to play it. What makes me remember is I walk past Return to Arms every day now. It's out, so I keep seeing it at work, and I'm like, oh, god damn it, I wanna play it. I'm not paying $50 for that game, though.
Yeah.
But, it might be kind of fun to check out the online stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the Xbox has been the only one that I felt not only worked really well, but had good support. You know, I plug my Xbox in, I flip the damn switch, and bam, I'm online. I can go ahead and, you know, I have, you know, X amount of games, I pop in any game.
It's because they have their own system as opposed to making the game developers set up their own system.
Which is why I think it's just such a superior system. I can hop on, I can download content for, you know, half the games I have off, you know, some fairly speedy servers. I can, you know, just like that. I come home, I buy a new fighting game. This is a big thing. I like playing, you know, these fighting games. So I can hop online, and unlike my Dreamcast, I was never able to fight in their little dojo thing or whatever the hell they had. I was never able to get that work. Not one time. Mm-hmm. Never. But on Xbox Live, the day I come home with that game, you know, and I pop it in, I'm online, and I'm fighting people I don't know all the way across the world. You know, it's a really good system, and it's fast. I don't know. It's great. So this is why, if every single game has this, and if Microsoft is saying that you have to have some kind of online support. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean multiplayer online. It could just be downloadable content. That's still awesome.
It still kind of worries me. Because if the game has to have
Xbox Live, that opens the door for patching.
It not only opens up the door for patching, and so people will rush games even more, but that's one step closer to us having to have Xbox Live.
And pay them a monthly fee or whatever, yeah.
Just to be able to play games, and then it could be piracy issues, like you have to sign on to Xbox Live to authenticate this disc. And
oh, Christ, we're deleting that section. I don't want anybody to hear that idea. Oh, man, that's just a bad idea. Forget he said that. Holy shit. No, that is not a good idea.
But it's one step closer to that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's going to suck. They're going to have little thumb scan readers. You have to register your thumbprint when you buy your console. It won't turn on, so you scan your thumb and authenticates with Microsoft servers.
Yeah.
All right, you're authorized to play this. Holy crap, I can see it, too. And, you know,
it's already happened with Steam.
Yeah, huh. You cannot play our game. They, you know what? They have it set up so you can play offline mode somehow, though. Because I know I've heard people talking about it where they're able to download the game, turn themselves into offline mode, and they're still able to play.
Well, so, right, but they still have to authenticate that before it'll
the
run.
The first time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Terrible systems here. They're just trying to control. God, man, this would have been a great show to do that email, too, because it's... Oh, man, I could have tore that guy up anyway. Now, back to everybody's favorite topic. And I really think that, you know, it's funny because I avoided these games like the plague. I avoided MMOs like just, I couldn't believe it. I was like, no, this is stupid. I'm going to play awesome stuff like Unreal Tournament forever because it's so much fun. But you know
what?
Lots
of people do.
You know, yeah, but you know, and there comes a point when you just like look around and you're like, well, I got to have to try this eventually. And
it's like sushi.
It's...
Yeah, people are like, no, that raw fish, no, and then get them to try it, and they're hooked.
Not so bad, maybe I'll try another one. That's what happened to me with, you know, Ultima Online, EverQuest 1 I tried to play for a little bit, Dark Age of Camelot I tried to play for a little bit, wound up loving Final Fantasy XI and EverQuest 2. And you know what? If you're not so sure about getting into an MMO, I hear a lot of complaints from people that don't make any sense. I like logical complaints, something that I can agree with, something I can say, you know what, that's a real valid complaint.
Mm-hmm.
But when you tell me that you cannot afford $10 a month, that's not a real valid complaint.
For entertainment?
Yeah, because I know you're lying.
Yeah.
Right? Simply put, you're lying to me. And I hear this all the time. Oh, I don't want to pay $13.95 a month to play a game. Okay. Okay. Then I will sit and watch you buy 3 or 4 or 5 games this month. And then I'm going to ask you, how long have you played those 4 or 5 games? And they're going to say, well, I played each one for a couple of days and then I beat it. And I'm going to say, now, you would have saved yourself $200 and you could be playing one fun game with the rest of us.
Or you go to the movies once and you've...
There's your $13.
Yeah.
For... Shrunk down into what? 2 hours?
Yeah.
A 2 hour movie? It's not even. Like an hour and a half movie, some ads, buy some popcorn. Yeah. Anyway. If that is your complaint, which isn't a valid complaint, by the way.
No.
I'm gonna keep saying that because it's not real. You can try, and I'm sure this has been around for quite some time, but it's important to our little story here. It at least pertains to it. Anarchy Online is free.
It's free now?
For a year. You can download, and I don't mean, like, you buy the game and you can play free. I mean, you download the game, and you play free until January 15th, 2006. Right? Now, at first you think, holy crap, they're desperate for players. That's not really what it is, because that's the original game. They've got a couple expansions out, like 3 or 4 expansions or something. If you want to play the expansions,
you got to start paying.
You have to not only buy the expansion, but you also have to pay a monthly fee. Right. Which I think is a pretty cool system. Because, you know...
They probably are hurting for new players, though.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I don't think AO can compare to anything that's out now. And I you know, but, I mean, a lot of people still play it. In fact, I got an email from a buddy of mine yesterday who can't stand online games like this, right? He plays crap like Counter-Strike and stuff like that all day. This is what he plays, right? He'll enjoy a good first-person shooter with the best of them. Can't stand the MMORPG games. I got an email from him yesterday. Haven't heard from him in, like, months. All of a sudden, he goes, yeah, then I got hooked on AO somehow. I don't know. He said something grumble, something about it being free, and I had to go check it out. And that's kind of how I came across that. I think we mentioned it before. I'm pretty sure a long time ago we mentioned that it was going to be free or that they had it up for free, but I didn't realize the extent of how free it was. It's free until January 15th. So, you know, if you want to check out a pretty cool, I guess this, you know, it's all sci-fi, pretty cool little sci-fi, you know, MMO.
Another idea is Guild Wars is coming out soon, and that's...
That has a really interesting take on it, too.
That's free forever.
Yeah.
As far as the monthly goes. Now, yeah. It's not nearly as persistent or massive as these other ones,
yeah.
But... It's a lot closer to Diablo.
It is. And, you know, I didn't realize all of that until I started doing a little research into it, because if you look at the screenshots for this game, you want to play it. You want to play it.
Guild Wars?
Real bad. Guild Wars.
Yeah.
Right. I looked at some screenshots, and of all the stuff that I looked at today, for some random reason, I saved 3 or 4 of the screenshots. I was just like, I need to hang on to this, thinking I'm going to use the screenshot for something or send it to somebody and be able to check this game out. But then when I looked into the game itself, I started losing my enthusiasm for it, which is kind of a bummer, because the game is beautiful. Their style in that game is awesome. The characters look great. But, I mean, this is coming from the company that, you know, published Lineage 2. So, you know.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, NCSoft.
Oh, they're not making
no,
it, though.
No, they published it, though.
The people that are making it are a lot of them.
I don't know the names of either one of the guys that developed either one, so.
They're coming, they came from Blizzard, though. They were on the team.
On Guild Wars, yes.
Yeah, they were on the team when they were making
Diablo.
Yeah, they
did
Diablo,
StarCraft, they had something to do with all the games there, so. And Warcraft, some of the, you know, stuff
and
there.
And they separated when they were making World of Warcraft, and they said, no, we want to do it like this, and then Blizzard said, no, we want to do it like that, and.
And more power to the Guild Wars guys, my book, guys. Because I don't like the way that World of Warcraft went and turned out.
Especially if you were a big fan of Diablo series, this is something
you really need to
check out. Because this seems like it is twice the game that Diablo 2 was online-wise.
Yeah, but you know, and I think that's where, honestly, I think where World of Warcraft went wrong. I would have enjoyed that game if they would have made it more like Dungeons and Dragons, EverQuest type, you know, a role-playing game, you know, not an action game, where it feels too much like a damn action game to me, like Diablo. Like, there's just too much influence from Diablo on that game. They really should have just made 2 games, I think. And those guys could have stayed working for Blizzard and keep their nice, happy jobs. But now, they're making Guild Wars, which I discovered the other day that the max level's 20. I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah. And their reasoning is they want to reward players for their playing skill. They want people to have fun. If you look at their ads, they keep saying gaming should be about fun, not about you know, they have a great one there that says something about games should be played, not endured. It's hilarious. I mean, all their ads and all their talk is about these games are supposed to be fun, so we're going to, you know, make a fun game. They also said that if you want to sit down and you've only got 20 minutes or 30 minutes, you can have fun in that 20 or 30 minutes. You can sit down and you can actually do something. Mm. I know when I want to play, you know, EverQuest or something, I have to prepare. I have to get ready. Like 20, 30 minutes is me like, okay, I'm going to need some food, need to get some arrows, I need this and that and this stupid thing, repair some armor, check the market. Half an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours later, I'm like, okay, maybe I can have some fun now. I need to find a group. Well, now you're back to waiting sometimes. You know, this happens in all these kind of games, though.
Yeah, I really think that at least for a certain type of gamer, this is going to be a really, really good game.
It is, and I really want to check it out. I hope they have some kind of an open beta or something ahead of time, like a full open beta. They had that stress test little weekend thing that we played, but like they started you at like level 15 or something, and you were just kind of thrown into the town, and it didn't work, and you only had a weekend.
I was really disappointed in the interface. I hated the interface.
I want to have another shot at it.
But Mocker told me that they changed the interface.
Oh, really? Yeah, because he played it for days, huh?
Yeah, didn't he get into it? He was real excited about it for a while.
Yeah. Then he started playing World of Warcraft. And did you see? He almost canceled his account, too.
Oh, really?
I was talking to him on IRC, and he said that he got bored of World of Warcraft. He had it probably for like just a couple weeks. He went to go cancel, and he said he couldn't cancel because Blizzard has a peon crying on the cancel screen. And he was like, it was just too cute. And then somebody else I was talking to was saying they offer, I don't remember who, hell, it was probably Mocker. Somebody else was saying they were offering 4 months free when they said they were going to cancel.
Really?
Yeah, which it sounds like a Netflix kind of system. Remember, I don't know if you've ever done Netflix or heard any stories, but Netflix will try to lower their price, their monthly fee, if you try to cancel. They'll say, well, what if we only charged you $10 a month instead of $15 a month for those three movies? On the cancel
screen. That's a nice little thing to know about.
Well, yeah, I don't remember where I was hearing that, but they were saying that they offered them 4 months free of World of Warcraft if they didn't cancel. So, I don't know.
It's kind of interesting.
I know, isn't that weird?
You would think that they wouldn't implement that right off the bat unless there was a lot of people.
Yeah, but have you been to their forums, though?
Not recently.
Oh, it is brutal. It is not the happy place that the World of Warcraft players make it sound. It is people leaving in droves. All the posts are like, we're at 60 and there's nothing to do. Fuck you, Blizzard. Fix this game. How come we still have these bugs? How come, you know, I can't... And I'm like, oh, wow, thank God. You know, there is problems. I knew people were lying when they told me it was perfect, you know. But I wound up over there on accident somehow the other day. Go away. I don't want to talk to you people. Oh, great, it's out of area. We should have a moment where we talk to the salesman people. No, I don't want this, but would you like to buy some video games? I wonder what the hell this person wants. You can just go away now. That's what I thought. Hi, this is Steve from the satellite thing, and I need to offer you $10.99 fucking a month for TV.
Satellite See? Because we're already in your neighborhood, I'm offering you an incredible offer.
Oh my god. Alright, you bitch, shut up. This bitch calls every week. I get this recording for satellite TV. Now, well, the cool part is, I don't watch TV. I haven't had TV in my house since 1996? 1997? One of the two.
Aside from the short amount of time where you had it and didn't realize it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But that doesn't count because you still weren't watching.
Yeah. That was awesome. That would have been great if I knew. Maybe that would have had all the cool stuff. Anyway, back to Guild Wars. Now, they've got over 450 different skills packed into this game, and one of the interesting things about it is you only get to pick 8 skills at a time to take with you.
I love that idea.
It's a pretty cool
system. I
missed
that from EQ1.
Oh, what?
Well, you could take all of them, but if you only got 8 spells that you could memorize.
Really?
Yeah, and anything else you wanted, you had to unmemorize it, sit down, memorize a new one, and stand back up. You don't have time to do that in combat.
I did not know you had to do that in EQ1.
You have a strategy system for what spells you can cast.
I did not know that existed in EQ1. That's pretty cool. It is a pretty cool system. I don't know if 8 is enough, but it's only because I'm used to having...
100?
Yeah, I'm used to having way too many. But it's pretty cool. I think that's cool because then you can get guys who use specific spells. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it wouldn't suck like... One of the problems I have in EverQuest 2 is if you get another assassin in the group, or if you've got another mage in the group, and you're both the same level, whichever one of you cast the same spell, or cast the spell first, that has an overtime effect, the other guys can't cast. You know, if I reduce their hit, their armor class, the other assassin can't hit it with that same skill to reduce their armor class. It says, you know, it's already on the guy. That sucks ass. But if you get, you know, in this, let's say you take, you know, you got two mesmers in this, and, you know, one of you can take the debilitating stuff, slow attack, you know, do this, you know, a dot, a power drain. The other guy can be, you know, other stuff, like party buffs or something. Mm-hmm. The classes in this game, coming from Dungeons & Dragons that I played for so many years, I have such a hard time with classes in any game. Like, I have a hard time wrapping my head around some of these, like in EverQuest and World of Warcraft. I'm like, these aren't real classes. You guys made this up. It's weird. It's like I can't get used to it. It's like, you know, I expect certain standard classes in these games just from playing Dungeons & Dragons for, you know, a good huge chunk of my life before we got into this really deep stuff. And, you know, early role-playing games on the, like, Nintendo, like, look at Final Fantasy. You had the white mage, which, you know, everybody assumed, you know, you just, cleric. This is the cleric, you know, the black mage, you just, you know, this is your black mage, this is what he does. Here you've got an elementalist, which as far as I can tell, translates to nuker, right? Yeah. Exactly. I actually, that was the hardest one to figure out for some reason, because I had to, like, read all the rest, and I realized there's no mage there.
The thing that freaks me out is what they call the healer.
The monk! The monk, yeah.
Every game I have ever played that had a monk in it was
hand-to-hand martial arts, yeah. Combat. Yeah, right. Yeah, this guy, yeah, the monk is the healer, and he also has, like, you know, like holy damage type of spells. He's got, you know, he is your cleric in this game. You've got a ranger, big on, you know, agility and, you know, bow skills, arrows type of stuff like that. You know, can't hit him, hard to hit kind of stuff like that. Because there's no, like, thief class. Ranger is about as close as it sounds like you're going to get.
Right.
You've got something called a mesmer, which it seems like he's got a bunch of weird, like, debilitating strange crap. Like, he can slow the enemy. He's got, he's, like, anti-combat. He's actually cool. Like, he can put something on a guy that he'll take 20 points of damage, let's just say, every time he swings his sword.
Or a
cast a spell.
Cast a spell and it backfires,
you know,
back on.
Yeah, he's got some pretty neat stuff. They have a necromancer that has a lot of, like, life tap abilities, you know, and if I remember right, and I can't remember this, and I couldn't find it, don't they have a pet that follows them around? Don't they have, like, they can
that's
raise...
That's very common.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was able to raise corpses, because I think I had an elementalist necro in that when I played. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, because none of this other crap interested me. And then the warrior. You've got the warrior, which looks like big, heavy damage.
You know, I am, actually, a lot of people don't like the fact that there's so few classes. I think it's a beautiful thing. Fewer classes means better ability to balance it, because this is Guild Wars. It's a first and foremost a PvP game.
You know what it reminds me of too when I think about this game is the Battlegrounds on Dark Age Camelot, where it's just mobs of people on two opposing sides and they get to go at it, which is cool.
There's plenty of PvE stuff where you go and you do missions with them.
There is. There's even a lot of solo adventures. You know, there is solo stuff you can do.
But
you know?
It is first and foremost.
They're saying
a
that's
PvP
their big
game.
Thing is huge guild battles.
And
that's
so
what they're here for.
The more classes you have, the harder it is to balance, and so you have all these classes that are absolutely useless and like two classes that rule ass. Like in a World of Warcraft, I guess the shaman just kicks. Total ass in PvP. Because he can use real weapons, he can wear medium armor, has all these crazy spells and whatnot, can heal himself.
Oh jeez.
He's a one man army.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, that's all the stuff is instanced too. If you want to go out and go adventure on your own, you're in an instance of the outside world.
Which is why it's not really an MMORPG.
It gets worse than that too. There's instant transport. If you have a mission to go do something, now that was one of the things, and I'm struggling to find it here in my notes. Oh yeah, here it is. They said that they've got, they expect to have 25 large cooperative missions upon release. Okay, now that sounds like very little, but remember, they're here for the player versus player thing.
Right.
They're here for what's essentially the end game of Dark Age of Camelot, where you have to put up with going grinding through 50 levels to get to the good stuff, which I know now that you can, they added in actually player versus player, battleground stuff from level 1 all the way through. But when I played Dark Age Camelot, when it was new, you you had to grind to 45 or some shit, or 47, before you could enter the player versus player.
Which you did with the bot, anyway.
You know, which people did with the bot, you know, and they were just like, fuck this. I never got past level 25 in that game because it got so annoying. But anyway, this was supposed to start there. But you've got your 25 large cooperative missions, they were saying. There's no walking to the fight, though. You teleport there. So the outside area is like, oh yeah, you're going outside of town, but this is just your little instance of outside of town, so you can sit there and grind some experience for, you know, a while, or farm for some loot, whatever you want to do. You go back to town, oh hey, five or six people want to get together and do a mission. Okay, well, we'll go talk to the, you know, whoever. We'll go find whoever we're supposed to talk to, and he'll send us on the mission, and then they teleport you someplace in the world where you're supposed to do that mission.
But what this game is trying to be, that's a good thing.
Exactly, because, you know, if you want to just log in and just run through a dungeon real quick, fine. You don't have to walk. Most of these games, it would take you 25 minutes to get anywhere,
yeah.
You know, before you even could start having fun.
This game is not trying to be an MMORPG, and I find it a little odd.
As a matter of fact, they don't even call it an
MMORPG. But everybody else does. You go to IGN, you go to GameSpot, you go to any news site, and they're calling it an MMORPG, yeah. And it's just not.
No, it is, according to them, I wrote it down here, they're calling it a competitive online RPG, a CORPG, because it's, you know, you have a character you can work with, you can build them up, and you can fight other people all day, it sounds like. But there's also, like they said, 25 large missions. Now, 25 large missions, I don't want it to make it sound small. Those are probably some badass long things that are going to take you like 6 hours to go through. You know, I mean, this is going to be like a nice big.
There's probably, you know, quite a few. Small
like a decent sized raid in EverQuest, even. You know, I mean, and they're going to have 25 of those right off the bat, and I'm sure they're going to have a bunch of. I already know they do from all the stories. They've got, you know, the regular ghetto quests. You know,
they're planning to pump out lots of expansions. That's how they're going to keep. That's how they're going to pay for the servers and whatnot.
Because there's no fee. You only buy the game and you play it for free, and you have to buy the expansions. But you play for free. There's no subscription fee on that, which is a great thing. But one of the things that I'm a little not so sure about on this game, though, is you can start the game at level 20. You can just say that I want to just fight people, and it's got level 20 characters that you can like pick from, and you can go just fight people if that's what you want to do.
Really?
Yeah. Now, the thing of that is, I guess, is I guess you can't become part of a guild or something, but you can just make a dude and then say, I want to fight in, like, you know, our whatever battleground, and then we'll put you out there, and you're on a team, right? And it finds other teams for you to fight. So that at any given time, there's probably, you know, a few hundred people that clicked, get me into a quick combat.
That's not so bad.
You know, yeah, it's not, but it feels very... You can tell they got this a little bit from Battle.net. You know, like, they just kind of were like, well, we need a quick play feature. We need a, you know, something where people can just log in and they're all on the same footing, they're all on the same level ground, and they can just fight each other. Or you can do the, you know, build your guy up, and you can join, you know, guilds and whatnot, and progress with that guy.
But so, then I imagine, from the sound of this, that quick play feature is just... I'm going to a zone where we're fighting.
Yeah.
There's none of the quests. There's none.
Yeah,
of...
it sounds like there. Yeah, there's nothing
you're,
else.
You're
gonna
have.
You don't even like save the guy. I don't think. Like you just play. I want to be a fighter this round. You know,
you
almost
probably have just very very normal average gear.
And... yeah, it's probably not super stuff. And everybody that's gonna be there, my understanding is probably wrong, but my understanding is everybody that's gonna be there is gonna be from that same thing. Like
a quick play.
Chances are you're not gonna be, at least as far as from what I can tell, you're not gonna be playing against people that built their character to 20. You know, because they're gonna have the fatter gear and they're gonna stomp you. You know,
and if they do, if you are able to just go into a 20, it should be like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You should be stomped by
exactly.
Someone who took the
you
time
should,
to build
you should,
up.
Exactly. You should be at a complete disadvantage. Now, the cool thing about this game, like, I think, is what their focus is here is the world leaderboard, something they call the world leaderboard. This is basically the look at me, I'm on top board for
right.
The game. You know, you're going to log in and you're going to see the number one guild, undefeated, you know, this many fights, you know, whatever. And it's gonna be that. And it's gonna be people clawing their way to the top.
Another interesting thing about this is the servers aren't walled off from each other.
Oh yeah, huh. It's like one big thing,
yeah.
But they are regional. They're gonna have servers all over the world.
Right, right.
So that I won't have much lag between my house and the server in, so let's just say, San Francisco. But the server in San Francisco is gonna have a fat pipe directed, you know, connected to the Korean server, say. and you're all going to be in one monster-ass world. At least that's from what I read.
Now, I imagine that people who speak different languages will end up kind of having territory.
Maybe. They might even have a whole separate world for that. Like, I could see them doing it Battle.net style, where you've got, like, regions where you would have, like, a Korean thing, a West Coast and East Coast. Mm-hmm. I could see that. Where you just have that, like, but a ton of servers around the place, though.
But if this lasts, if you can just move from server to server, I would imagine that in some way or another, different territories would be kind of built up and over time.
Yeah. You know what else is
like,
cool?
This server is where the Uber guilds tend to hang out. And
yeah, I can see that, too. That'd be pretty cool. What else would I wanted to say? You can hire, I think this is cool, you can hire henchmen.
Yeah.
You can hire NPCs if you can't, which is great, because you know what always happens in these kind of games? Alright, we got 3-4 DPS here. We need a healer and a tank. You can't find one anywhere.
No, I imagine a player healer would be infinitely better.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, you know, in a pinch, you buy two healers, or rent, two NPC, you know, healers, and you're good to go.
I do like that idea.
You know, I do too. I think that is awesome. And I'm sure you probably have some amount of control over it. You know, like, I imagine you can press
I don't remember having any control.
You had one?
Yeah.
Oh, I never got that far. Oh, okay. Well,
I was out with Mocker. We were doing the first mission.
Oh, really?
Just me, him, and a couple NPCs.
Oh, wow. That is cool. That is pretty neat, though.
We didn't have any control. And frankly, there should be a serious disadvantage aside from paying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To using, because you don't want people to be, all right, well, screw looking for anybody.
Yeah, I'm gonna go out by myself. Yeah. Although there is a certain appeal to that too.
but it shouldn't be just as good as
exactly,
as finding people.
Yeah. But I would love to be able to pack a healer around with me sometimes in EverQuest. Now this game comes out April 28th. That's next month.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea this was so soon. And if you pre-ordered, you can get it April 27th. You can start playing.
You also get a bow of some kind.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. Now, oh, yeah, I saw that on the box. That's right. Okay, on to the next MMO. This one is everybody's favorite. The Matrix Online. Now, I know that everybody's like, oh, God, I can hear the groaning, the internet groan. But you know what? I actually know people that have been playing the beta for this. And you know what? They tell me it's actually pretty cool. So there's a couple people at work a couple days ago. We're just like, you know what I've been playing? Matrix Online. And I laughed and they said, actually, it's not that bad. So,
well, that's good.
They were World of Warcraft players, though, so you know. Their scale's a little off.
And they already left, huh?
So, they got tired of it. They said there's nothing to do. So they went on to different things. And they're trying, I guess, now Matrix Online, which is supposed to be out March 22nd. And April 8th in Europe. March 22nd, apparently, at least in the U.S., and April 8th in Europe. You can get a beta sign-up right now if you're a File Planet subscriber. I do not support the idea, but it is an option. If you're there and you want to play that bad, you know, you might want to shell out your $8 for the month or whatever for a File Planet subscription. They are supposed to start Stress Test 2 March 1st at noon. Okay? That's all I know about the beta stuff. Now, the game is supposed to go live 21 days after that. So, we'll see how well that does. Now, this game's hard to talk about because I run into that weird problem where I don't know what the classes are anymore. You know, you don't have a freaking priest. But I do know that you have three different factions that you can work for. Apparently, when you start out the game, it goes through the whole Matrix thing. From what I understand, you're offered the blue pill or the red pill. Now, everybody I spoke to at work told me they took the red pill first, and they played the game. Well, they didn't know what happened if you took the blue pill. And all of a sudden, we started dreaming up cool stuff at work. We were like, oh, dude, imagine if you take the blue pill and you make a guy, and there's a whole separate set of classes to pick from, and you're like, almost like, and you don't see the Matrix world anymore. But, and how neat would it be? We were going on about how cool it would be to have, like, an alternate world where your choice you made in the very beginning completely altered the way the game played. Apparently, when you pick the blue pill, it logs you out. Back to the real world. So that kind of sucks. So you have to pick the red pill.
That makes sense, though.
It does,
you're
I know.
Just a peon in the Matrix if you take the blue pill.
Exactly, yeah. You're back here
in
the real world, listening to us. Yeah, so that's no good. But I thought it would have been pretty cool if they would have had something in there at least. I don't know. I don't know what I expected, but we had some pretty crazy ideas. Now, when you start the game, apparently you... it goes through all the crazy Matrix stuff. Like, you're in that white room with the old-ass TV and the chair, and you're, like, talking to Morpheus or some shit, you know, like, it's all, I mean, this is Matrix. I mean, right. They put all those things from the movie into this game. People from the movie are all over this game. Places. You can find the subway place where, remember in the first one where Neo and Agent Smith fought, and it was like the crazy battle down the subway? Mm-hmm. That place is there. Every location is in this game, and then some. And apparently there's three different factions, and they give you, that's where you get like your missions. From what I can gather, this game seems to sound like it plays a lot like, City of Heroes, where it's mission-based. You know, you don't do anything until you need to go somewhere to do something. So you talk to, you know, probably your operator, because you have, you know, whatever, and he says, you know, you gotta go here. So you go there, and you can work for, you talk to, I guess, this is difficult. At first it seems like you're working with the humans from the city, Zion. Remember? Mm-hmm. Then, anyway, somehow you, later on, like, you do the first couple newbie missions, I guess, working for Zion, and then the machines will approach you, and have you do missions for them. Or something else called the Merovingians. I don't know. Something else.
Oh, that's in the second and third one.
They almost seem like they're, like, okay, whatever they are, they're like the rogue people, or yeah, something, like a whole separate faction.
They're the programs were gonna be deleted, and they escaped.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you remember, because I fell asleep on the other Matrixes, so.
I'm pretty sure.
But whatever they are, you can do work for anybody. Mm-hmm. Now, the more missions you do for one particular thing will raise your faction standing with them. You know, which I assume dictates what missions you would get from them. You know, like, they'll give their high-end operative guys, you know, the better missions with the cool stuff. There is a full inventory thing in this game, too. Like, you know, all kinds of crazy loot drops. But fashion is a really important thing. Like, one of the first missions I heard, you get yourself, like, Neo's glasses. You get yourself a fucking black trench coat.
Right.
This is what you get. Now, looking at screenshots for this game, the characters are dressed up all kinds of crazy. I mean, you've got, think of, like, the crazy cyberpunk-looking stuff, like, you read about in, in sci-fi books and shit like that. This is what this game has. I mean, I can't even begin to describe it. Just think of, like, the craziest cyberpunk shit, and that's what you can dress your guy up as. Mm. Full wardrobe stuff, style counts in this, you know. But I think it would be cool to have a black trench coat plus one, too, you know. I think that's got a certain appeal to it, you know. That's pretty neat. Now, you have money in this game also. Obviously, you have to have some kind of currency.
Right.
It's information. Which is kind of neat.
Huh.
Yeah, knowledge is power. Information is your currency, and you would trade some information to somebody, and he'll give you, you know, a trench coat, or a gun, or some bullets, or whatever, you know? So you collect information. And I imagine when you kill a creature, you know, or not a creature, but when you complete a mission, I haven't been able to figure this out. If you do a mission, and you, I don't know if you get rewards for killing creatures, you know, or I keep saying creatures, killing programs.
Right.
On your way through the mission, if they would say drop information, I imagine they do, because apparently they drop loot. But at the end of it sounds like you come across something called like a data node, which has, it's like the end of the mission, where you would basically,
it's like a chest with a bunch of gold in it.
Open the treasure chest, exactly, because it's got a bunch of information in it, and it's got stuff, and it gives experience. Okay, this is, I guess, for completing the mission. And you basically harvest it, though. Like, you walk up and click on it and stand there.
Right.
You stand too long, they send an agent after you, which apparently whoops some ass. The agents are like level 50 mobs that roll out and they mess you up pretty bad. Then you can find little things called code fragments, which are used in crafting, which I thought was neat that this game has a full crafting thing, because I thought, what the hell are you going to do? Now, I don't have too many details on it, but I did get the class stuff down. The classes I've got, you've got three main classes, Hacker, Operative, and Coder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it was explained to me, it was very different, because they told me at work, they were like, oh yeah, the operative guy is like your tank type, your hacker is your healer type, and like they never told me what the coder did, and I was like, well, that's kind of gay. But when I looked at it, it's not quite that simple. You've got a system that works more like EverQuest 2, where those are the archetypes, right?
Right.
You've got the archetypes. You've got your hacker, operative, and coder. The hacker, I never saw where it just flat out said, this is the healer class. This can also become this class, right? I never saw that. What I had to do was look at the skill tree and figure this out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're looking at your skills, it's all like virus rider. I have to assume that's a nuker, right?
Yeah.
You know, because the hacker can go from, he started as a hacker, then you can become a patcher. When the patcher can become a team patcher or a guardian patcher. Okay. And then from there, you specialize in your skills. like your skill set, right? Mm-hmm. Or you can start out as a virologist, and you can become a network hacker or a pathologist, and then something else. Something called a selective phage, which I couldn't figure out.
So basically, the hacker is your magic user, and it goes either healing or nuking.
Your operative, you've got the soldier, the warrior type, your tank type, mm-hmm. who can specialize as a martial artist type or a gunman. And when you look at the skill tree, you'll see under, like, so let's say you go operative, then you go soldier, then you go, let's say, martial art. Then from there, you're basically done, but then you specialize and you can go, like, kung fu.
Mm. Whoa. I know kung fu.
Right? Or you go gunman and you're like Dante with Ebon and Ivory and just go mess some shit up, right?
So they're tank and melee DPS.
Right? Also, you can go spy as an operative. You can go spy, which goes to infiltrator or cutthroat. At least that's what I wrote down. Okay, so that seems like your DPS and tank, maybe. Like, you got your rogue type and your warrior type. And the coder, this is the one that really threw me off, because I was like, well, we covered everything. So when I look at the coder, it's real clear when you look at the skill set. They're your crafters in this game. It's like a whole thing, because your coder can become a programmer or a code shaper. The programmer then breaks off into something called a code crafter, which...
But they still have use in combat, don't they? I think I read that somewhere.
I imagine they do somehow, but I don't know how. I don't know how. Because the combat, we're going to get to that right after this part here. The code shaper can become a proxy coder and a utility coder. And they're like your crafters. I'm certain they possibly have to do something else, because I don't know if anybody would want to play just a crafter. But the combat is really weird. You have like an unlocked combat mode where you just can walk up to somebody and shoot them. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, that's fine. But that... is more like auto attack mode. You know what I mean? Like in every other MMORPG, when you go to attack, you walk up to the creature, you hit attack, your guy's in auto attack and you're shooting. That's what this is like, right? You're
good.
Unlocked combat. You walk up, you click the creature and you shoot, and you will just keep shooting as he charges at you, right? And you can run away and keep shooting. But you have something called interlock. Now this is apparently how most combat takes place, apparently. And it sounds like a paper, rock, scissors kind of combat. It's really weird because it comes around and it's, let's say, round one. And you've got your moves, right, that you can do. Let's say you're a martial artist, you know, you're a kung fu expert, you pick, you know, friggin' one-inch punch kind of crap. So you hit that. Now let's say he picks, you know, I don't know, some kind of a dodge move or something.
Whoa, this is turn-based?
Well, I don't know if it slows down that much. But, you know, I'm sure it's like you have 3 seconds to pick your move in between rounds or something, you know. There might be a regular punch there. I don't think so, but it says you pick your move. I'm sure there's regular punching and kicking, I would assume, but it does look, everything I was able to gather was that you pick your move, and then the enemy picks his move, and then basically the roll is made. So if you picked a move that he picked the perfect counter for, if you picked basically rock, and he picked paper, you're gonna lose. Okay? And then, since the game, you know, the combat is like that, the animation's supposed to be fantastic. The animation is supposed to be just beautiful in the combat, because the game can tell ahead of time who's going to win, so it knows what animation to play. But if you're going to do your triple kick, like remember in the dojo scene in Matrix 1 where Neo and Morpheus were fighting, you have all those moves, and there is some at point where you go to that dojo and train and do stuff. If you do that triple kick, let's say he does let's say he picks to jump out of the way, you know, whatever. The animation will be him jumping out of the way and you missing your kick and landing on the ground. You know, so, but I don't know how much your stats and whatnot come into play. I assume, let's say that, you know, maybe if you pick like the perfect, you know, you pick a move, which will be like, let's say a point of 10, and he picks something that will dodge that certain 10 because it was the perfect counter. If you've got higher stats in whatever, you know, however it's going to roll, you can still succeed. Mm-hmm. And you would still win the round, and it would still do your attack on him. It's really nuts. It seems like something I would need to play.
Yeah.
To figure out any better than this, because everything I read drove me insane. I could not figure it out.
And there's bullet time, and I can't wrap my... Well, if it's all turn-based like that, then I guess it would work out okay. Because then, the turn is over, everybody goes into bullet time for it to happen, and then they go back into real time for the next round.
I guess. That was like the last thing that I read was how that works. I don't know, because I didn't see very much about it. All I know is that you get something called... Okay, basically they don't have power or mana. You have something called inner strength. That's that. Right? That keeps you from just spamming your moves and everything.
Right.
The interesting guild system in this. I kind of dig this. Kind of. This has a lot of negative things about it too. But guilds are called factions. Your little group, right? And then there's something called crews, right? So you have, like, your ship crew, you know, like on the Nebuchadnezzar and whatever your ship is, whatever. You can get a crew which can consist of 12 people. Factions can be made up of multiple crews and individual people. So you could have, you know, a bunch of dudes and all their ships in the same, like, guild, in the same faction, then random dudes that aren't part of an individual crew.
Mm.
Okay, and that's pretty cool. That's kind of a neat system, especially if the game promotes that kind of thing. In EverQuest, right. That kind of deal doesn't work. If you've got groups of six people that all play together, you're just sharing a chat channel and nobody does anything together. We've discovered that that doesn't work very well the hard way. Now, the player versus player in this, you have your standard regular duel, right? You and one other dude can go at it. You have your team duel, where you and two other dudes can go at it, or, you know, multiple groups of dudes can go at it. And you have a third type, which is like, it almost feels like it's faction versus faction.
Right.
Where you have, like, your crew even could go roll on somebody else's faction, which you have to get, like, a password for to get access in a whole separate instance little world that takes place outside of the Matrix. That has nothing to do with anything, but you can, like, almost break into their place and fight them in their turf.
In the real world?
As far as, I don't know. I read the fact, and it said in a pocket world instance. So, whether, and it said out of the Matrix, specifically. So whether, hell if I know. It's crazy. But, I mean, it's pretty cool. It sounds a lot like City of Heroes, though, where you've got a lot of missions where that's, like, all you do. Like, you couldn't just wander around forever if you were bored.
Mm.
Seems like you would get pretty bored if you just wanted to go see all the places in the movie, you know. There's no kill stealing. That's kind of cool. If you get into a combat and you kill, like, 90% of the creature, and some asshole runs up and kills it, it's like, okay, well, you did 90% of the fight, so you get 90% of the experience and loot, you know, or whatever. So that's kind of cool, because you can have groups of people help each other out and not be like I don't know if there's like a raid form or like a crew form or something, but you can have just individual groups out there. And then if a badass boss program, because, you know, rolls in, your individual groups can band together, and you don't have to, like, do any crazy raid garbage either. You guys can just all start beating on the same badass dude. Program.
There are some definitely negative aspects to the whole lock-in combat that Final Fantasy brought into them.
Yeah, there is. It's not that great, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how well this game, you know, turns out. It's going to be out real soon. It sounds a lot better than I thought it was going to be. The crafting thing sounds particularly interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds really cool. The classes, I dig that you've got, like, your hacker and your... I mean, you know how many fucking hacker nukers are going to be out there, though?
Theory is the best.
It just seems.
I own towers.
There's gonna be dudes named Kung Fu and shit. And their names are like that in the game, by the way. From what I was seeing screenshots of, you'd see a dude like Johnny 12. You know, like you would see like a fucking internet name on there. You know, Deathlord666@AOL.com. You know, that crap. That would be a player character name. So I don't know about that either. But at least it's realistic. At least there's assholes like that out there on the internet. You know, so you could have all the letters for or all the numbers for letters that you wanted, and it would be totally fine.
Yeah. Considering it's a whole hacker.
Yeah. You know, this whole thing. Computer. Yeah, exactly. Which is pretty cool. I would really like to check it out, but I'll be goddamned if I give a penny to Fileplank. You know, so. Screw those guys. Now, the next MMORPG that I want to talk about, I have incredibly high hopes for, but I didn't expect it to be any good. Like, I knew this was going to suck. Now, by the way, Matrix Online is a movie game MMORPG. I don't know if it stands a chance in hell. Now, but this one is based on the no-brainer, Dungeons & Dragons Online.
I really... have been surprised this whole time that it wasn't around when DAOC was.
Yeah. I totally expected it. In fact, I remember back then going, oh, when a D&D MMORPG comes out, I'm all over it. Never happened. Well, now we only have to wait till about, this is just an estimated release date, August 1st, 2005. Published by Atari, made by Turbine Games, or whatever they're called, Turbine Incorporated or something. They're working very closely with the Wizards of the Coast people, who I don't particularly like. They're using the 3.5 Dungeons & Dragons rules, which I don't particularly like. It's setting in a new D&D world. It's not going to take place in Forgotten Realms on Faerun. It's going to take place in a place called Eberron, which I don't particularly like. Okay, on a continent called Zendrick. Which, again...
I don't particularly like.
I don't particularly like. Okay, I would have... felt much more at home, and everybody, every single person that I know wants this game to take place in Forgotten Realms, on, you know, somewhere in familiar settings. You want to be able to go to Baldur's Gate. You want to be able to go to Icewind Dale, you know. I'm naming the game names so that people know what we're talking about, because if I said Kalimshan, they'd say where, you know. They won't know, you know, you don't know other places, you know. You don't go to these places in the games, you know, and the other computer games. But you'd know these other games. You could go there, because that is a place in another real virtual world. Okay, and I want to go there.
There is something definitely to be said about that. And that's the same appeal that EverQuest 2 has for EverQuest 1 fans. And the same appeal that...
Yeah, I remember when you started playing, you're like, oh, dude, this is this place, but check it out, oh my god! It's like all messed up now, and holy shit.
And, or World of Warcraft fans, I mean, people who play World of Warcraft who are, Warcraft 3 fans, or yeah. Warcraft 2 fans, or whatever.
Yeah.
You go to places that you played in other games and whatnot.
Warcraft has got some story. You ever read the story on Warcraft? Like the RTS Warcraft, like not World of Warcraft, Warcraft. Have you ever read the manual?
Not dude, cover to cover.
I have. I sat and read them because they're that good. It is like a full on like novel when you sit there, and they have it all broken down. It is awesome. So I mean, they had a lot going for it. I mean, their fans, you know, were ready. I mean, it was so deep already with their lore and whatnot that it was ready for a game somewhat similar to that, you know. I mean, it was ready for an RPG-based game, I think, in Warcraft. But anyway, Dungeons & Dragons Online, one of the things that's going to set this out, I think, the most is their combat is real-time. They're not going to use this press auto-attack and go make yourself a sandwich, take a nap, and come back and hope you killed the creature shit. They're going to have real-time combat. Now,
like, you push a button and swing the sword?
You will swing that sword, which is going to be pretty interesting. Now, it sounds like, holy crap, this isn't going to work at all, but I've got a little bit of faith in them, because it's not going to, they keep saying it's not going to require, like, super unreal tournament-style skills at this. To dodge a creature shooting something at you, it's not going to be all about, you know, how fast are you on the controls. You're not going to feel like you're playing Unreal all day. Okay, but your stats are going to come into effect for you know, a good portion, because that's the whole point of gaining levels, which also, by the way, the max level is 20, which I dig. Thank God they adhered to the rules of Dungeons & Dragons somewhat, you know. Then they're supposed to have master levels or some shit like that, anything over 20. They called them, like, epic levels or something. And the combat, they said that they want the combat to really be... The power of your overall character is based on the skill in the real and virtual world. So your stats are going to matter, and your skill as a player, how well you interact with the interface, is going to affect how badass you are in the game, which I think is pretty damn cool.
Well, and I have no problem with a game requiring skill.
Yeah.
But that's not why I like the auto attack thing. It's because, first and foremost, these are interactive chat rooms.
Yeah.
This is a place, I mean, to talk to new friends and old friends, and you get around and
go do something.
Yeah. And if you're having to actually fight, like Unreal, as you brought up, well, then you're going to have GG, and then you're going to have
yeah.
Very, very little communication while you're actually fighting.
So it's going to be like Final Fantasy, where I can't communicate with the Japanese players. I just don't say anything and I just play. they're gonna have, well, I mean, you've got other technologies to help you out though. And I looked on their forum and there was talk about building in a chat client. Like voice chat client. Basically, it's looked like it's not gonna happen. But I mean, you do have things like TeamSpeak and Ventrilo, which I think Ventrilo is far superior. You know, you have things like that that can aid you. If you're serious about playing a game like this, and you're gonna, chances are, have some pretty tight-knit group of people that you play with, you're gonna wanna talk to them anyway. It makes games, even like EverQuest, where you have auto-attack, you know, the chat still makes it infinitely better. Mm-hmm. You know, it really does. So, I mean, that's something to consider. I would highly recommend using some kind of a chat, voice chat program, just because it makes the world, every game, it seems like such a better place, except for maybe Unreal. Stuff like, you know, kind of, I don't want to hear those kids screaming at me, oh, I owned your ass, you know. Anyway. And this kind of stuff, though. Now, this really blew my mind here. Oh, you know what? And also, I wanted to point this out, because this is going to be a turnoff for some people. They flat out came out and said the solo content is going to be minimal. Because Dungeons & Dragons has always been about hanging out with a group of friends.
Right.
So that, you know, early on, it's going to be you can solo, But later on, you're going to require, basically, require a group.
They are going to find out that that's a mistake.
Yeah, they're going to find out a lot of what they did was a mistake, because there's some things that I'm not happy about at all. They use that teleportation system crap. You don't walk outside of the town, and you're not in a giant world. You get a mission to go do something, and you get teleported there, and now you and your party of however many, they haven't actually decided on how many people are going to be in the group yet, but right now the forums are looking like they're saying six. You and your group of, let's say, six are going to be teleported to the dungeon. And now you're going to be here in, you know, the ruins of whatever ass kick that you didn't even have to walk to. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I like that idea either, because I like the exploration part of these games, and they're completely removing that. They're putting you into exploring dungeons and outside worlds that you're teleported to. But the world won't feel whole.
Connected.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like teleportation, but I think Final Fantasy did it, where you have to actually go there.
Exactly.
Get the thing
first.
Now you've explored this area.
Now you can teleport. Yeah, that is cool. Yeah. You're right. I like that. That's all right, because walking around is bullshit.
And they also need quite a few more places than Final Fantasy.
Yeah, three. Yeah.
No. There was like six.
Five or six teleport places. Yeah. There was quite a bit. But I like that whole, the world does really feel big and open like that part, you know, that is awesome. But if you take out the in-between places, like the travel time to another zone, that's going to suck for me. That's going to be lame, because I'm just going to teleport, I'm going to be like, well, let's go to the teleporter and go to this zone. And it's like, eh, what if we had to pass through a scary forest to get there? Or at least even the first time, maybe the first couple times. That would have been dope. That would have been really cool. So I don't like that. Here's something really interesting, though. People whine and complain about the grind. You don't get experience for killing creatures in this game.
Just for completing missions?
Yep.
I like that.
That blew my mind. I stopped cold when I read that.
I like that a lot.
Experience is only awarded by quests, and who cares how many things that you have to kill along the way, which is pretty neat. That's pretty cool, you know, assuming they change up the quests. I'm not going to want to do the same mission over and over and over and over, kill five bears.
Well, if you're just fighting, you're still killing five bears.
You know, yeah, I know. That's going to be stupid, but they're going to have missions where you have, you know, other objectives than kill whatever. It's going to be infiltrate this, locate this, do that. And my particular favorite point so far in this game has been they pointed out something about the rogues in their frequently online ask question thing. They actually had a little section about rogues specifically. Like, there was no, are the warriors going to be uber tanks? It was rogues. We understand that rogues get the shaft in MMORPGs. And that they went on to talk about, you know, what some of the rogue skills are going to be, and that you will build a complete quest without having to kill stuff. Which is awesome, because I really like that. I hate these games where they put the rogue into all you really can do is damage. That's stupid. Look at Final Fantasy, where I would spend weeks, not in a group, doing all treasure hunting is so much fun. Camping named creatures is a blast. I mean, there's just so much other stuff to do that works really well if you're a rogue. You know, picking locks on chests and whatnot. They said the dungeons are going to have traps, right? I mean, that's cool. Why do I have a detect trap skill in EverQuest that I have never been hit by a trap? Okay, I have a disarm trap on a chest. That's entirely different than my, like whatever my skill is for detect invisible trap or whatever. I've never been hit just walking down a dungeon all of a sudden. Psh, poof, that's never happened before. What the hell's the point of it then? You know, if they're gonna have that in this, that's gonna be awesome. I'm really, really looking forward to that. The races they have are humans, elves, dwarves, halflings, and this is gay. They have warforged, which are like mechanized golem things, which I think is so terrible. So terrible. This is a bad idea. I don't like that at all. The classes, barbarian, bard, cleric, fighter, paladin, ranger, rogue, sorcerer, and wizard. Their multi-classing is going to be available also, which I think is pretty damn cool, because that's what's going to extend the play, basically. You know, you're going to have dudes that are, I'm a fighter, mage, thief, you know, and you're going to be the freaking man. It's going to take you a while to get there, though, to get all those to 12 or 20.
Now, so you can get each one of those to 20?
I the way that they're saying it here is they might even let you have four classes. So I don't know what the hell they're going to do. I really don't know. They didn't specify anything.
Because in the real D&D, you can only add up to 20, right?
You get... Damn, it's been a long time since I played. You could dual class,
right,
which had one class was like your main... Let's see, how'd that work? You could play a class up until whatever, and then you could switch classes to something else, and you would get those your skills of the other class. God damn, it's been like 10 years.
right, but like if you
the multi-class, you would level at the same time, and you could get them all to whatever. Like you could be a 20 fighter mage priest, but yeah, it took you forever because it took you three times as long to get experience because you know you get 3 experience points, you get 1 point in every class.
Right.
So it took you a while. The dual class way, you could quickly get to a high level, switch classes, and then crank out, you know, 20 level. But they didn't say anything about dual class.
Each one could be 20?
Yeah.
I could have swore it only added up to 20. Like, you could be a 15 fighter, 5 monk, or whatever.
I don't know, man. It's been a long time. I could have sworn that you could have them all at the same level. But they had to be...
Well, you definitely played a lot more than I did. But
yeah, but it's also been a long time, and they've changed the rules a lot. So I don't know if maybe it's something from 3rd edition that's different. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, for the purposes of this game...
All of them can be 20?
From what I've been able to gather, not all... Yeah, you're going to have 3 or 4 classes at a time
good
if you do the...
God.
Yeah, I know. I don't
if
know.
If you had 4, you wouldn't need anybody.
I know. But you're probably...
You could have level 20 healing, level 20 tanking, level 20 nuking, and level 20...
It would probably take you a while to kill the creature, though, because, you know, if you're getting beat on, you're healing yourself an awful lot, you can't focus on damage. You know? So.
Well, that's true.
But they said they're also going to have prestige classes unlocked later. Classes not on the Barbarian, Bard, Cleric, Fighter, Paladin, Ranger, Rogue, Sorcerer, and Wizard list. They're going to have prestige classes. I imagine this is once you get yourself to level 20 and do some of your, you know, your epic level stuff, you could get to become a prestige class, which, you got me. I don't know if they're going to break something down like a necromancer or whatever, and they're going to whip out the anti-paladin or something like that. I don't know what the hell they're going to do. But I don't really like the class system in this game either. I liked second edition type class system where you had all these different classes. It was by race could only be certain classes, and you had the kits where you could specialize your class. So I'm going to pick a bard, but I'm a poison-making bard. Mm-hmm. And this other guy is a jester type of bard. And you had all these different kits which would really specialize your character and completely change their skill set and stats. That would have been really nice to see because I really like that specialization and character customization of things.
I still can't get over this several classes and one dude thing.
Well, I mean, we'll find out more as we go. You know, I mean, sure somebody probably knows. We're probably going to get email. You guys are morons. This is how this works.
I hope so.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I hope so, too. Tell us what it's supposed to be like.
You know, wizard at level 20, well, he's supposed to be frail. But now if you can pair him up with a level 20 warrior, now...
Yeah, but you won't be able to use your mage spells. You can't cast if you're wearing heavy armor. If you're wearing, like, the highest level armor you can wear as a mage is light armor. So you may have 20th level warrior hit points, but if you're casting it, if you plan on casting, you're wearing very light armor.
But that still will help immensely in your
well,
frailty.
Yeah, but you also put in how much effort to make that guy 20 warrior. I mean, that's a little bit of a payback for it, you know? It's like, shit, I played twice, 3 times as long as you guys to be able to get extra hit points. You know,
yeah.
You know, these burly barbarian mages running around. Now, oh, that's another thing, too. There's no more of this random rolling stuff, right? Because it doesn't quite work, because you'd have people sitting there all day until they roll perfect 18s down the skill line, or whatever the hell it is now in the 3.5 rolls, whatever the hell their stat goes up to. So everything is on a set chart. You know, you get X amount of hit points per level. You don't roll. You know, so you're not going to have a level 20 rogue with 1,400 hit points and one with, like, you know, 400 hit points. It's not that ridiculous in D&D. It's real actual numbers that people would actually use. One of my complaints about EverQuest, 4 billion armor class. No, no, no. What happened to 10? You know, 10 was enough. You were Uber if you had a 10 AC. They also said no player versus player. That's a big bonus for me. I can't stand player versus player. It drives me nuts.
With people with all different kinds of skills, it doesn't really...
Yeah, and and their reasoning, they're maybe chickening out of the whole thing, was D&D has never been about player versus player. D&D has always been about player versus, you know, the environment, where you're running through a dungeon and a cool dungeon crawl in the adventure. Spells was really fucked up in this, because, okay, you have spell points. Wizards and clerics must memorize a limited selection of their spells, right? So you would pick, you know, maybe 10 spells you can memorize out of your, you know, 100 spells or whatever, but you can only cast those, you know, 10 or 20 or whatever it is that you memorized, but they do use from your spell point pool, okay? So you take your 8 spells, let's just say it's 8 spells, and you've got 200 mana points. So you can cast whatever those 8 spells you want until you burn your 200 or 800 mana or whatever the hell you got, right? Sorcerers and bards can cast spells for anything they got and use their power pool, their spell points, but they don't have to memorize. But their spells aren't as effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you're not going to have a bard that's covering, you know, healing. You know, you're going to have a sorcerer that has a wide variety of spells, but that wizard's fireball is going to whoop the shit out of somebody else's fireball, right?
Right.
They're just going to have a little bit more to them. Now, one of the things that really bothered me in this was also there was no crafting. As of now, they haven't put any crafting in the game yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Dungeons & Dragons, crafting fat items was actually a part of the game. You could go out and do this crazy quest to forge yourself, you know, or get parts to get, like, the uber sword or whatever, you know, and it would actually come into play.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to have anything like that yet. I don't know if they even need something like that in a game that sounds primarily like Diablo, you know. So I don't know. I'm really not happy with the way this is coming out. I wanted it to be fat. The website's DDO, DungeonsDragonsOnline.com. I don't know. It's supposed to be August 1st, 2005. I don't know what to think about that. I mean, it sounds like, well, at least they're changing up the MMORPG market a little bit, because it
right.
seemed like you had EverQuest, Dark Age of Camelot, and all this crap was the same.
Right.
And you just had very little that made each one different. You know, Dark Age of Camelot had the battle zone player versus player crap. EverQuest has, you know, the ridiculous raids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just had just little tweaks to each one of these that didn't seem to change much. But now you've got crap like, you know, Matrix Online, completely different. You know, you've got Dungeons & Dragons Online, completely different.
And like I was saying, they need to.
Yeah.
They need to find some new things to inject the
I'm just disappointed
genre with something.
Because the one that I want to be more like EverQuest, like a generic fantasy MMORPG where it's all about just, you know, cool places to see, you know, and go and things to kill, I want that to be D&D. You know, with story. You know, lots of story and lots of quests, not just lots of killing and whatnot. And it just seems like, oh man, they're taking the action game route, you know? So I don't know too much about that. I'm not sure what I think yet. I probably won't be playing it if it's going to turn out the way it sounds like it's going to turn out. So I don't know. That's too bad. Makes me want to cry. I watched Sky Captain this week. That Sky Captain, The World of Tomorrow.
Made completely with a virtual graphic.
I had no idea what they did to this movie, but it's weird. It is
only weird. Thing that's real is the people.
Really?
It was acted entirely, 100% in front of a green screen.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts. And it's filmed really bizarre.
Like a 50s action movie.
Yeah! It's like, it even kind of has that blurry look to it, you know? And like the chick's blonde hair is almost too bright. You know, it's like it shines when you're on the screen. It's a pretty cool movie. The way it was filmed was so weird. The cheesy dialogue in the movie was something else. I mean, you're just like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm watching this. It does feel like you're watching an old, bad movie. Which unfortunately doesn't fly with me too well. The graphics and all that were dope. I mean, they had some cool stuff going on. The combat was pretty neat too. You know, the way they had like the planes flying through all the neat shit and all the, you know, aerobatics they would do and like even the underwater stuff was cool. And like the scene with the Angelina Jolie and her whole, remember the blowing up the dude that pops out of the water and she had a
I've actually never seen it.
Oh, wow. Wait, was that? Oh yeah, crap. Okay. I got movies crossed there. Oh wow. No, it's nuts. The fight scenes are pretty cool. The fight scenes are actually pretty neat. And it's just like, they stumble, like, these scientists are being killed. And they were scientists that worked on a big project together, and there's like one scientist left who doesn't want to die, and he lets a reporter in on who's killing him, and so the reporter chick knows like a superhero dude who's like this awesome ace combat pilot dude. And of course they used to have a thing, you know?
Right.
And,
right.
The adventure goes from there. Basically, they're trying to stop this guy, you know, from taking over the world, and they discover all this crazy stuff, and I don't want to blow too much of it. But it's a pretty decent movie. Unfortunately, I can't stand old movies. And this feels like an old movie.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, it's not bad. I did sit and watch it all the way through, you know, I mean, it was pretty entertaining.
At least the special effects aren't bad.
The special effects were awesome.
That's what really gets me with old movies. It's like, you see the strings from the flying saucers, they're like, wobbling. It's like, oh, no.
Yeah, this one looks incredible. However, I just Oh, man, the dialogue is so bad in it sometimes. Like, the way it was filmed doesn't bother me. It looks old, but it looks fine. It looks just fine, because it's not
I think black it's actually white. Really cool.
It is. It looks good. And
doing
it, and
the entire thing in front of a green screen?
It's the dialogue that sucks.
Yeah, but it's supposed to.
Oh, but it should.
It's supposed to be 1950s cheesy.
But it shouldn't have. They shouldn't have made it. They could have made it still a fat movie if they would have just pumped up the dialogue a little bit or something. I mean, because it had some really good scenes. It had some really cool effects. It had some amazing effects. It had, like, their outfits were neat. The things they did were cool. Combat was fun. The story was pretty interesting. It was a decent movie. But goddamn, did it sound like I was listening to, you know, me talk and pretend to act. It was terrible, right? I have to go with the $5 out of $8.75. I have to, because you're just sitting there wondering, why the hell am I still listening to this movie? It looks good. It's interesting. But goddamn, I can't listen to these people talk anymore. It was bad. Kind of like us.
Yeah.
You can't listen to us talk anymore. Our time has come to an end, and we'll spare you the rest. So, we're out of here. We'll be back next week.
See ya.